Turn your Bibles, please, to Job, the 23rd chapter. Job 23, verse 1, page 584 in your old Scofield reference Bible. Job 23. Job 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts today. Father, we thank you this morning that we can't open the Word of God again and look into the Word of God and find food and help and strength for our pathway that's before us in life. We know, Father, there is help from the Word of God for us. And may we look to the Word of God today and find something that will help us and inspire us and challenge us and lead us and build us up today in the Lord Jesus. I pray you meet every need of every heart. And Lord, I pray for our boys and girls in our children's churches and preschool, and pray you'd help them over there. May the Word of God be instilled into their hearts and then never get away from it. Bless now this thy people as the Word of God is preached. And this your preacher, God, help me as I preach. And Lord, I confess that I'm nothing without the Lord's help. Lord, you said, without me, you're nothing. And Lord, I admit and confess before God and man. Lord, would you help me, though? You be my strength and stay as I preach today. And may the Lord be glorified. And may your people be blessed in this service. And may the devil be defeated. Now anoint me and give me liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know that things don't always go well for a child of God. One thing a lot of people can understand is why good people suffer as well as bad people. But the good suffer in life as well as the bad. And just because you are saved, all of your problems are not over with. Sometimes you get saved, your problems only begin. Because then the devil starts attacking you. As long as you're not saved, that sometimes the devil just will leave you alone. But good people have problems, and the book of Job certainly teaches this. Look back. I'm going to come back and preach on chapter 23, but let's look over to chapter 1 for just a moment, and let's see this great truth that we need to understand that we're going to have problems along the way, even though we're a child of God and on our way to heaven. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, we see that Job was a good man. He was a perfect man, upright man, one that feared God. Now, perfect means that he wasn't above sin. It means he was a mature Christian, a godly person, upright, lived right. He feared God, eschewed evil, hated evil. And then in verse 2, we see he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Down in verse 5, he prayed for them every day. Then verse 3, we see that Job had a great material wealth. Many sheep and camels and oxen and asses and a great household, many servants. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. And then one day, though, Satan came before God, and God said, "Do you know, you consider my son, servant Job, man that was upright and feared God and hated evil?" And Satan said, "Yeah, but it doesn't do it for nothing." He said in verse 10, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed him." Then down in verse 11, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And so God permits Satan to touch Job to prove him. Not because Job was a sinner, but to prove him, to show that he had the real thing. And then in just a few hours, Job lost everything. In verse 14, he lost all of his oxen and asses. And then in verse 16, fire came down from heaven and burned up his sheep and those who attended the sheep. And then down in verse 17, the Chaldeans came and stole all of his camels. And then in verse 18, another great stroke fell on Job. All of his sons and daughters fell. The roof of the house fell in upon them. And they all died at one time. And when all of this report came to Job, in verse 21, look at Job's great faith. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then in chapter 2, we see Satan going before the Lord again. God said, "Well, what do you think of Job now? You've touched him, and he's in bad shape physically. He's lost everything. But he's kept his integrity." And then Satan said, "Yeah, but," he said, if skin for skin in verse 4, "yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." But he said, "Just put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." God said, "Now he's in your hand, Satan, but you can touch his body, but you can't touch his life. You can't take his life." And then in verses 7 and 8, we see that Job is scraping boils that came to his body from head to foot, scraping the boils. And then in verse 9, when his wife saw that he had lost everything and boils from head to foot, she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And then Job made that statement that a lot of men have used many times: "Thou speakest as a one of the foolish women speaketh." And then that wasn't all. He had 3 friends that came to see him. Brother with friends like Job's friends, man doesn't need enemies, does he? And these 3 characters came to visit Job in all of his infirmity. And they came and just sat with him where Job was there scraping his boils. And in verse 13, they sat down upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and didn't speak a word to him, and just sat there and moaning and groaning and throwing dirt up in the air. That's what the Bible says they did. Now, if I was in the hospital and 3 of you to come and just sit there throwing dirt up in the air, moaning and groaning, I'd punch the button to get the nurse, take these care, call a paddy wagon. I mean, send for the boys in white, get rid of these guys. And here they are, sitting there just looking at him, throwing dirt up there. But then all of a sudden in chapter 3, these 3 friends started ripping Job apart. And from chapter 3 through up until chapter 23, these three friends, quote unquote friends, accused Job of everything. They said, Job, you must be a wicked person. You must be an awful sinner for things to happen to you like this. Because surely if you were good, these things wouldn't happen to you. Wrong. Wrong. And then they said, Job, you must be a hypocrite. You must be a church member, but just a plain hypocrite. And so this is the background. And what a background to chapter 23. And in chapter 23, there's two main things I want you to see. First of all, Job's frustration in chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, and Job's faith in verses 10 through 17. First of all, notice verses 1 through 9, Job's frustration. We see his complaint in verse 2. He said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Here, one of the greatest men who ever lived is now complaining. And I guess we would be too. He had a little room to complain, didn't he? Lost everything. Lost all of his wealth, all of his herds, lost his family, lost his health and everything. And his wife even turned against him. And now his friends are here saying, there's sin in your life, or this wouldn't happen to you, or you're just a hypocrite. You're just a hypocrite. And I believe that stung him worse than probably all of the things that happened to him physically. They were saying that he was a hypocrite. There must be sin in your life. And Job knew that he wasn't a hypocrite. He knew that he had faith in God. Now, folks, we make a bad judgment, and it's a very wrongful judgment, when we say because something bad happens to a person, or sickness comes to them, or trouble comes to them, that surely if they were right with God, this wouldn't happen to them. That's wrong. That's wrong. Or they, when a trouble or comes to them, a reversal, that they must not be right with God or that wouldn't happen. Oh, no. No, you couldn't be farther from the truth. None of us would be worth anything if we didn't go through a few trials every now and then. And that trial, that person may be going through, may be just the thing that they need to strengthen their faith in God and make them a greater Christian. 1 Peter 1, verse 7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. If you're going through trouble this morning, God's Word says it's worth more to you than money in the bank. If you'll keep your faith in God, that trouble, that trial is better, you're better off with that trouble than you are with money in the bank. That's what God's Word says. Though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And by the way, many times when we can go through a trouble and a trial and a testing, and that may be an attack of Satan. Or it may be just a testing time that God is putting his children through. Then notice in verse 3, his craving now. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, Job said. Bad enough to lose all of his earthly possessions and his family and his health. But now we see that Job had lost the sense of God's presence in his life. He felt that he was forsaken of God. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. I have too, and I'm sure that most of you have been to the place where that you just felt like God wasn't there. And I can certainly associate with Job. And most of us at times have allowed circumstances or troubles or suffering to rob us of the presence of God. But you know, when you're going through a period of time and you wonder if God is there or not, if you're saved, now the key is if you're saved, and if you're a child of God, even though you don't feel God's presence, folks, we can rest assured from God's Word that God is there. God is there. He has promised in His Word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As the song says, even though the day may be sunny or dreary, Jesus is always there. I'm glad of that. And God was, even though Job didn't realize God was with him, God was right beside Job, even though he could not feel his presence. And if you're going through a trial, and you're in a church this size, there's always many going through a deep trial. Constantly, constantly. You wouldn't believe the trials and troubles people go through with. But even though you have a heavy burden today, or even though things may seem dark, but I want to assure you on the basis of God's Word, God is there. Hallelujah. He's not forsaken you. Just believe God in the midst of your trouble. Look up and say, I'm going to believe you, God. And listen to the Word of God when God says, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. You're going to make it because God's with you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Then look at in verse 4, 5, and 6, we see his confidence. I would order, if I could find him, I would order my cause before him, fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that he would say unto me, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength into me. Job is saying in those verses, if I can just get to God, I'm confident that the Lord will do three things. Especially, I know that I see here Job says that he believes God to do for him. First of all, he said, I just know in verse 5 that he had answered my prayers. I would know the words which he would answer me. God says, I believe that if I can just somehow get an onus with God, God will hear and answer my prayer. And that is correct. As Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear are open, and his ears are open unto their cry. God does hear and answer the prayers of his children. So, child of God, in the midst of problems, in the midst of trials and testings, God hears and answers prayer. Then he said also in verse 5, he said, if I could just get an audience with God, and I might come to his seat, and if I could find him, he said, I just know he'll understand. Look at verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He says, I know God will understand. God knows. Even though Job's wife and Job's friends and seemingly nobody understood, he said, if I can just get an audience with God, he would understand. And Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And then the latter part of verse 6, we see that Job said that the Lord would not only hear me and understand me, but he would also help me. But he would put strength into me. And God, there's strength and help available for the children of God, when we look to him, and when we go to him, and when we trust him. Then in verses 8 and 9, notice his great concern. Look at that again. He said, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. He said, I turn around and go back, but I cannot perceive him. I look on my left hand, and I cannot behold him. And I turned to my right hand, and he seems to hide himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Job looked to the right and the left and the front and the back, and no God. He thought he had lost touch with God. And Job was in a predicament. He thought God had hidden himself. And I'm sure that this was probably the most bitter pill of all God wasn't there in his time of testing and time of trial. And the worst loss, as far as I'm concerned, that can come to me or any child of God is a loss of God's presence. Folks, I want to encourage you to daily seek a walk with God. Daily get in the Word of God. Daily go to God in prayer. I just, every now and then, I just have to know that God is there. Every now and then, I just have to know the presence of God. Or I just can't make it. If every now and then, I don't know that God's there. 26 years ago, I was thinking, well, I was thinking of this verse, these verses here, verses 8 and 9. 26 years ago, this month, I was up in Illinois. I'd already accepted the call to come down here to Tennessee, I think it was. I'd already accepted about this time. I'm sure about this time I had. And I was out in the hills behind in Illinois. We lived between Sterling and Dixon, Illinois. Ellen and I did at that time an apartment. And I went back in the hills behind our apartment back in the woods there and was praying. And I said, Lord, I said, when I go down to Tennessee, I said, I want you to go with me. Lord, I said, I don't want to go to Tennessee if you're not going to go with me. And the Lord laid a scripture verse on my heart that it's been a blessing to me down through the years. In Exodus 33, verse 14, as I was praying and talking to the Lord about coming to Tennessee, the Lord spoke to my heart through Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And God assured me that his presence would go with me. I came to Tennessee. And then verse 15, and Moses said to him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And blessed be the Lord, every now and then, the Lord has reminded me of this promise he made in his word that he was going to come with me, go with me as I came to Tennessee. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Now let's look back at the second part of this outline that I've given you for chapter 23. First of all, in verses 1 through 9, Job is frustrated. And then, in verses 10 through 17, Job was frustrated in the first 9 verses because it seemed. Now notice I said he's just seemed. It just seemed like the Lord had not forsaken him, but it seemed like he had. He had no sense of God's presence. But here in verses 10 through 17, we get just a glimpse of Job's faith. The light of his faith starts shining through. There's four things about his faith. I see faith looking, I see faith living, faith loving, and faith leaning. And I want to just point out these four things in verses 10 through 17. First of all, faith looking to the Lord in verse 10. But he said, I look everywhere and there's no God. I don't know that he's there. I've lost the sense of his presence. But he says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Aren't you glad that Job's speech didn't end at verses 8 and 9, where he said, I'm looking everywhere and can't find it? Wouldn't it be a terrible place for the Word of God to just close that speech off? I'm glad Job said, but even though in verses 8 and 9, I can't see the Lord, here in verse 10, he said, the Lord sees me. That's all that matters, isn't it? And he said, when the smoke's all cleared, he said, I shall come forth as gold. He said, the Lord sees me, and everything is going to be okay. And that's the secret to victory. In the midst of our problems, if we'll look up to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm just going to trust you. And I'll guarantee you, when problems come and trials come, if you'll just look up and say, Lord, I don't understand. And by the way, you can't always understand. You can't always understand. You just have to look up to God and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You need to say with Job what he said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens to me, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And folks, we can trust God. He is perfect. He is holy. And God makes no mistakes. And his will and his way is always best for me. It's always best for you. And we can trust God. Was Job right when he said, he sees me and I have confidence, I have faith, that when he's tried me, when I come through this test, I'm going to come forth as gold. Was that right? Yes. Just keep your place here and turn over to chapter 42 again. This is a great chapter, Job chapter 42. And let me just point out quickly something in Job 42. Look at verse 10. Hey, wait, I'm glad for the last chapter of Job. And now we know the rest of the story, brother, when we come to chapter 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Notice, when he prayed for his friends, Job, I'm sure, had bitterness in his soul toward his friends for the way they castigated him, accused him of being a wicked person, a hypocrite. But, brother, Job, when he met God, he said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then Job was able to pray for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Look at verses 12 and 13. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. And then the Lord gave him back his family. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Then look at verses 16 and 17. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Hallelujah. So, look to Jesus when you're going through a trial. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll look to Jesus, you'll come forth as gold. Then notice in verse 11, and I'm going to have to hurry on to these rest of these few verses. Notice faith living the life in verse 11 and 12. He said in verse 11, Job said, I've kept his way. In spite of everything, I've not turned to sin. I haven't given up. In verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And Job said, I have kept his word. I have kept living according to the commandments of God. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Then in latter part of verse 12, we say, faith loving the word. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job found out that he could get by without physical food, but he just couldn't make it without spiritual food that he got from the Word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let me read that again. Listen to it close now. The psalmist said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The psalmist realized God's word's more valuable than money to provide for my physical necessities. Now, when a person realizes that, they're going up a spiritual notch when we realize that we need God's word more than we need food for our body. And Job here in verse 12 realized that he needed God's word more than the food that was necessary to keep body and soul together. Now I know that we must eat to live. I realize that. I've been accused of living to eat. And I, as you can tell by looking at me, I love to eat. And by the way, some of you look like you do pretty good in that department, pretty well too. Most of us spend probably, what, an hour a day eating? Some of you longer than that maybe. I don't know. But you know, a new day would dawn in our lives, folks, if we would spend at least as much time reading this old book as we spend at the table feeding our faith. And a new day spiritually would dawn in your life. Why don't you start doing it and say, I'm going to spend at least as much time every day feeding my soul as I do feeding my body. Wouldn't that be wonderful? When Brother Sandy first got saved and came here, what did I tell you, Sandy? I told him the way to grow in the Christian life and to keep from falling by the wayside is getting a word. And I'm glad Brother Sandy's gotten a word. And you stay in that word, Sandy, and you'll go on for God, brother. Amen. Let me make an observation about the relationship of God's word to our trials and our testing. In my own experience, and that's, I don't want to give you just my experiences, but all I know is what God's done for me. And every trial that I've gone through with in these 26 years here at Buffalo Ridge, almost 26 years here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the Lord every time has used His word to speak to my heart and encourage me. He's used His word. When I get into a time of testing and trouble and a problem, if I'll go seeking God through His word and poring over the pages of the word of God, God gives me help from His word. And you too will get help from the word of God in your trial if you just keep searching the book. When I was thinking of this, I reminded of a verse over in Zechariah. Don't turn to it, but just last September, when I had another little recurrence of my lung problem, the doctor got a little excited, and I got a little excited too, a whole lot excited, because I had spots all over my lung, new spots. And he called me up, and I said, Doctor, is there something there? He said, yes, there's something there. And folks, that ain't fun. And before I went to have a CAT scan, I wanted to get something from God. I wanted a word from God. I was having my daily devotions in Zechariah, and I thought, how in the world is God going to speak to my heart through Zechariah and all those visions and dreams and everything? But see, God knows how to speak to us. And that morning before I was to go have the CAT scan on my lungs, God gave me assurance as I went in there from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. He said, soul, will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. I thought, well, Lord, that means then everything's going to be okay. How am I going to be a blessing if my lung's full of cancer? And God spoke to my heart and just seemed to just tell me that everything's going to be okay. And fear not. But let your hands be strong. And brother, God spoke to me through His word. And folks, if we're just in the midst of trouble, just go to the word, search the word until God speaks to your heart and gives you help and strength to face it. Well, let's look at one other thing now. Back to Job. One other thing. Job leaning on God's providence in verse 14. And look back at 13. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? In other words, who can turn God's mind? Who can? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God is sovereign. And then Job said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And in the midst of all of this trouble, and all that Job was going through with, it brought great comfort to his heart that God had a plan for his life that man could not change. Job had lost everything. All of his family. All of his holdings. His friends mocking him, saying that these calamities came upon him because of his sin. But with faith in his heart, Job said, God has a master plan for my life, and nothing is going to change God's plan for my life. And whatever it is, Job's saying right here, I accept it. I accept it. I had to say this 5 years ago when I first had a health problem. I had gone along for all those years and thought, boy, I've got great physical strength. And then all of a sudden, the first health problem hit me, and I thought my life was about over with on this earth. And again, that ain't too funny. And I can laugh now and shout now, but I'll tell you, it wasn't that way then. And for days I had no peace, and I was up here praying and crying and trying to get some peace in my soul, and all of a sudden it came to me, well, listen, Gene, God has a plan for your life. And you can accept God's plan. It's best, whatever it is. And I thought, well, if I have lung cancer and I'm gone from here in a year or year and a half, or if it's everything's okay and I'll stay here 15 or 20 more years, God, either way, whatever your plan is, I accept it. I know it's right for me. And when I said that, God gave me peace in my soul. And God's plan is best for our lives. And this is what Job is saying here. God has a plan for his children, and man or circumstances cannot change God's plan for our lives. And you can rest assured in that. I think the songwriter pretty well sums up what Job's saying here when he said, have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on the throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, just look up to God today like Job and say, Lord, I don't understand. But I know you have a plan for my life, and I'm going to trust you. And God will see you through. And you'll come forth through that fire you're going through with, shining like gold. And you know what gold, when gold goes through the fire, you know what it does? The fire doesn't hurt the gold one bit. All it does is burn out the dross. And what you're going through with is going to burn out the dross and impurities in your life. And you're going to shine more for Jesus when you come through. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I told the Lord the first part of the week, Lord, I want a message the people today that you want me to preach. Lord, would you give me a message to preach? And that is God's message. I believe God wanted me to deliver to you today. You can trust the Lord in the midst of any circumstance. You can trust God, and God will see you through, and you'll come forth shining as gold if you're a child of God. Now, that message is mainly, it is for God's children. But if you're not saved here today, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And he wants to do something wonderful in your life. He wants to give you new life in Christ. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to give you, make something wonderful out of your life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants to do all of that. If you're here and if you're not saved, that's what the Lord wants to do for you. Christ died for you, and he'll save you. And God has a wonderful plan. You'll never know that plan until you trust him as your Savior. Are there those here today who say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart. I am saved, or maybe you're not saved, but you'll say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart. And there's a spiritual need in my life. God spoke to me about something, and I want you to pray for me today. Maybe you need, maybe you're out of the will of God, or maybe you're not saved, or maybe there's some decision you need to make, and you'll say, preacher, pray for me. Just lift your hand right up. Now, I remember you in a word of prayer. Just lift that hand right up. Just lift your hand right up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. God's spoken to my heart. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? God is speaking to you through His Word. Listen, look to Jesus this morning. Look to Him. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Right before we pray. Right before we pray. Anyone else? Pray for me, preacher. Father, we thank you today for your Word. Thank you for the great comfort the Word of God can have to the soul of man. Thank you for your pure, undefiled, perfect Word. Thank you, God, that you are a perfect God, a holy God. You make no mistakes. We can trust you. Thank you for that. I pray for our dear people who's going through trials and problems, and help them not to waver, but just, Lord, even though they don't understand, just keep their faith strong in the Lord. We know they're going to come forth shining as gold. You said they would. They'll just look to thee. I pray for people that here today that are not saved. I pray they'll come today, come to know Christ. Leave here a child of God on their way to heaven. Some have been saved, need to come forward and make it public. Maybe some need to join the church. May they come. Have your way. Holy Spirit, draw people to this altar and to Jesus and to heaven. Pray for these who raised their hand. May they come and kneel before the Lord. Look to Jesus this morning. I pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Number 310. Let's stand and sing. Number 310. God's spoken to your heart. You need to get saved, or need to rededicate your life, or need to come pray about a problem. Need to make, maybe you've been saved and you need to make it public, or maybe you want to join a church, whatever. I'll be right down here in the front. If you raised your hand, you need to come. Come on. 310, you come as God leads you while we're singing. Come on. Say, I told you this morning that you can trust God, and God hears and answers prayer.
We prayed for Danny for a long time now. Danny grew up in this church, got away from the Lord. But Danny, I went out trying to see him this week two or three times, couldn't catch him. But Danny couldn't get away from the Lord. And Danny got right with the Lord on his own, came in here Thursday, and I talked to him for an hour and a half right there. Danny had already gotten right with the Lord. Brought his girlfriend by Friday, and she trusted Jesus as her Savior. And so God does hear and answer prayer. It's been a great victory. Great victory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We prayed a lot. Edith and Frank brought him here as a boy to church. Heard the greatest preacher in America come through here. And Danny, buddy, I love you and thank God for you. Amen. 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 Let's sing the next verse, Brother Gary. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today. Maybe you need to come for some reason.